Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 24th in the year of our Lord 2021. This, ladies and gentlemen, is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. That is one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. It is welcome to day four. Sam Bushman and many, many others live from freedomfest.com. If you can't attend in person, the streaming option is available online, freedomfest.com. But if you could be here, oh, would love to have you with us. Welcome to the broadcast, and welcome to Freedom Fest 21, baby. They're already planning Freedom Fest 22. Did you know that? They put together a new plan. They used to be in Las Vegas for years. And then they decided after Las Vegas shut them down because of the Coco scare, the big old lie about the coronavirus. Then what happened is they decided to move to South Dakota. Because Governor Kristi Noem and others were standing for freedom and said, you can come here, man. We won't force you to wear masks and force you to vaccinate and shut everything on the planet down. And so they just jettisoned Vegas because they got shut down last year. Freedom Fest 2020 got shut down, right? So anyway, 2021 in Rapid City, South Dakota. We're here live. It's been a tremendous, I'm talking tremendous, several days. But now what they're going to do going forward is they're going to have 1 year in Vegas, 1 year somewhere else, 1 year in Vegas, 1 year elsewhere. It's going to be phenomenal. You're going to see the country by attending Freedom Fests. And anyway, it's something to behold. So good for them. That's going to be really neat. I saw that in their brief today. Every day they send an email at the top of the day and say, morning to you, top of the morning, and welcome to Freedom Fest Day 4. And then they break down all that's happening today. And there's so much I can't cover it all, but I'm just telling you, way cool, well done. Just tremendous stuff. Now, I got to just recap a little bit of what happened yesterday. First off, on the show, we talked to attorneys, Mark J. Victor and Andrew Marcantel. They call themselves the world's only real peace movement, liveandletlive.com. They're libertarians. They say they're radically pro-freedom. Amen to that. They're globally pro-peace. attorneysforfreedom.com. Have you listened to the Peace Radicals podcast? If not, you ought to check that out. Secondly, we had our guest on, John Paul Mendoza. I think is how you say it, or Mendoza. He was a professional gambler in Vegas for 4 years, but then he became a serial entrepreneur, known as a turnaround specialist, if you will, with 31 turnarounds under his belt. Pretty cool interview, man. I liked him. Co-author of the modern book on positioning, most businesses fail in the first 5 minutes. It just takes them like 3 to 5 years to figure out they've already failed. Position to Win is the name of the book, ladies and gentlemen. Positiontowinbook.com is the website for that. Check it out. Take the positioning quiz on the website when you get there, too. Pretty interesting. Where does your business need to be? The positioning quiz will help you figure that out. We then talked about subscribe to our Position to Win podcast on iTunes, Google Play or Spotify or everything else. Basically, he's saying everybody ought to have a podcast. Everybody ought to state their position. Everybody ought to articulate where they stand and where they are and where they hope to be, etc. Right? Everybody can have a dream. Pursue it. Come on. Anyway, that was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Hour two, we had our guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley, with us, doing a great job as always. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. We talked about 49 fully vaccinated. Let me say that again. 49 fully vaccinated New Jersey residents have died from the COVID-19. So the vaccine ain't protecting people is the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a big old lie now exposed on your radio. Vaccine antibodies, they say, may start to fall off 6 weeks after even the second shot. UK study coming out. So now they want to push you for a third shot, don't they? These people are off their rocker, whacked out, crazy. I'm telling you right now, their ideas are circling the drain, ladies and gentlemen. It's just out of control. We talked about America's frontline doctors doing a great job filing a motion, a lawsuit on July 19th, seeking immediate injunctive relief to stop the emergency use authorization on vaccines for three main groups of Americans. People who are under 18, right? That's a huge population, all the children, if you will, right? Anybody who has recovered from COVID-19, so you've got, you know, the COCO and you've recovered and you don't really need the vaccines, you've got natural immunity, right? And those who have not received appropriate informed consent, that is by law, right? Anyway, hopefully frontline doctors will have success in their lawsuit. UK conservative, what they call MPS, is now threatened to boycott party conference if vaccines are required. I'm just digging the people pushing back, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. You can think what you want about vaccines. I respect your choice to study it, to figure it out, and to decide if it's for you or not. What I don't like is the force plan. Don't force people to take the vaccines, and don't force people to not take the vaccines. Let people figure it out, have transparent information. Let them figure it out in their minds, and whatever they want to do, by all means, have to it. Isn't that live and let live way, right? Rand Paul intends to pursue criminal charges. They call it a criminal referral against Anthony Fauci, and for good reason. Fauci's been lying and got caught lying over and over and over to the American people. Who does this guy think he is, above the law? Wow. Anyway, cool stuff. Rock star Eric Clapton doing a great job, man. He will not play forced vaccine venues. Just imagine if we all stood up and said that. We're not going to go to forced vaccine venues. We're not doing it. Period. End of paragraph. Whether you get vaccinated or not isn't the point. You need to respect those people and their agency. So I might come back and say, even if I was vaccinated, which of course I'm not. Let me say that again, which of course I'm not. Let me say that again, which of course I'm not. But if I were, you know what? I should be willing to stand up and say, hey, I won't go to a forced vaccine venue either. So I might believe in the vaccines, but I'm not believing in the force for everybody to take it, right? It's the force question at issue. Anyway, great job, Eric Clapton, saying I'm not going to play at these forced vaccine venues. Wow. We had our guest on also yesterday, second hour. Her name is Hara Taker. I can't remember how you say her last name. Anyway, she did a great job, though. She's awakeandbold.com. It's a platform championing people coming together and working on sexual abuse, sex trafficking, to stop it. And amen to that. We talked about the grooming process and the warning signs related to teen sex trafficking. We talked about signs that your teen is being groomed by sex traffickers. And we talked about a push for awareness on human trafficking. And then a push to take action to prevent and stop it. Great interview, Dr. Scott Bradley, and the good lady there doing a wonderful job. So that's a recap of yesterday's show, straight live from Freedom Fest, baby. It was killer. All right, now I got to brief you on the day, because one thing is the show, but when you have incredible days, like day three of Freedom Fest, I got to break that down for you too, man. We had three breakout panels. The Loving Liberty ladies tore it up and did a phenomenal job, brought tears to my eyes. Yeah, they had a great, great breakout session to a room of patriots that just enjoyed it. They had a 16-year-old girl stand up, the next generation of Liberty Loving ladies doing a phenomenal job. Telling the tale of liberty like nobody's business. It was phenomenal. Liberty ladies with their incredible curriculum declare or proclaim liberty is what it's called. Proclaim liberty. What a title, huh? You got to like that for the kitchen militia and homeschoolers and everybody else. Proclaim liberty. Amen. Across the land, baby. LovingLiberty.net to learn more about their incredible curriculum. But they had a phenomenal breakout session. And then after that, Sheriff Richard Mack stood up and chronicled the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in America when he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. That was phenomenal. He gets up there and he says, yeah, I was the only one to beat Bill Clinton and live to tell about it. Oh, boy, those Arkansides are just haunting the Bill, aren't they? Bill and Hill, just out of control. Why they're not in prison is beyond me. I digress. Let's get back to the issue at hand. Anyway, great All I can say is this. Richard Mack loaded the bases, okay, in the second breakout session. In the third breakout session, you had a panel. One moderator, former sheriff, because of term limits, now elected as a county commissioner. So he was a sheriff for two terms, then term limited, so he went and became a county commissioner. The people love him. His name is Brad Rogers. He was the moderator. And four sitting sheriffs on the panel. And I'm telling you right now, Richard Mack and his presentation loaded the bases. And then I'm telling you, these five sheriffs literally hit a home run. It was incredible. People were crying and laughing and clapping and just having a fantastic time. People were saying, that's right, amen, all kinds of stuff. Because the sheriffs just really laid it out constitutionally, pointing out realities with regards to jurisdiction, saying what they will and won't do, talking about gun control, not in my county, not doing it, not happening, not going to go there. Yeah, forced vaccinations, forced closing of businesses, not going to do that, not going to go there, not happening on my watch. Hearing about American sheriffs standing up, standing in the gap for the sacred cause of liberty, ladies and gentlemen. What a phenomenal event that was. Packed house. They even had to line up chairs on the back wall. We had too many people. It was just amazing. Yeah, buddy, Charlie Daniels takes us out to the break. How's that? He's doing it, and he's not even alive anymore. But, man, his songs live on. And liberty lives on. With those who are fighting for liberty, whether they're here or on the other side helping us, we stand for the sacred cause of liberty. And I'll finish telling you what happened yesterday, and then we'll just rock and roll with News the Network refused to use and guests, all from FreedomFest.com on your radio.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips live from FreedomFest.com. We are in South Dakota, Rapid City. That's why I got to talk really rapidly. Just to keep up with all that's going on at the incredible conference we're having. Day four, baby. Yes, indeed. 6 days a week, we're live on the air. The Sabbath, we rest. And Freedom Fest is going on, and we're covering it live just for you. Anyway, so we were talking about the incredible day. So Richard Mack loaded the bases, the county sheriffs, sitting county sheriffs, with their sheriff's panel, literally hit that dude out of the park. It was phenomenal. Everybody was loving it. I mean, people were almost, they were in tears just thinking, what if we had sheriffs like that all over the country? Wow, we could take America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, couldn't we? The answer is yes, you could. That's why Richard Mack wrote a book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. That's why he also wrote a book called Are You a David? because it really tells us our relationship with the sheriff and what can be done when good, honest people get involved with the sheriffs. Now, the sheriffs talked about the sheriff's posses because Americans will back their sheriffs. Sheriffs will be backed by Americans. By the way, did you know that's a speech that I gave literally like 10 years ago almost or whatever? I literally stood in Las Vegas on stage before a couple of hundred sheriffs and delivered my sheriffs will be backed by Americans speech. And then they reiterated that reality of how valuable it is to have the citizens who have their backs. They talked about that. We had an incredible dinner last night, man, catered by the, what's that hotel called? Holiday Inn. We were at the Holiday Inn, man. We had a room. We had a catered dinner with phenomenal chicken and beef. And I'm telling you, it was just killer good. And after we ate, then we had several people come to the stage. The Loving Liberty ladies tore it up, did a phenomenal job as well again. Kate Daly, Beth Ann, both doing just phenomenal. Anyway, after the Loving Liberty ladies spoke, and we talked a little bit about their Proclaim Liberty curriculum, we had a gentleman that was named Simon that articulated the differences between communist China and the United States of America, highlighting what a difference it is. And how the Chinese are trying to take over and lull you into a false sense of security to believe that somehow the China way of things is good. Anyway, he was from Hong Kong. And he literally explained that Hong Kong was on a trajectory for freedom until the communist Chinese put their finger in the pie and screwed it all up. And what a sad day it is that Hong Kong is going the way of the communists. And the communists are trying to, what do you say? What do you call the Hong Kong people? Hong Kongese? No. What is it? Come on. What are the people from Hong Kong called? I'm sorry, this is live on the radio and I'm just on the fly. Anyway, the people from Hong Kong aren't really excited about going into the communist regime style. They'd really rather follow the West and freedom and liberty. Anyway, Simon did a phenomenal job. And then they turned it over to me and I set the stage for the four sheriffs and Richard Mack and the, what is it? Hong Kongers? All right, Google says they're Hong Kongers. I don't mean to mock. I'm not trying to be flippant. I just don't really know the term. You know, it's Americans, but it's the Chinese, it's the Japanese, it's the Hong Kongers, I guess. All right, anyway, but all I'm telling you is I set the stage, the four sheriffs, plus the former sheriff, Brad Rogers, plus the former sheriff, Richard Mack. So six of them literally spoke. I had the opportunity to speak as well. And wrap up the dinner and the event. It was just phenomenal. Beth Ann Schoenberg literally sang the national anthem. We pledged allegiance to the flag. We had a tremendous prayer. And to end the last night's dinner and festivities, if you will, I said, I got one word for Beth Ann. Amen to her prayer. I've got three words for the sheriffs. Courage is contagious. And then I thank them for the courage. I thank the staff for all the people that took care of us at dinner. Their work was stellar. It was phenomenal. And by the way, so is the work of all the people that are making Freedom Fest happen. Everywhere I go, there's just nice, hardworking workers, just so gracious, so helpful, so supportive. So I'm telling you, they're just a delight to be around. So we want to thank all the folks at the Freedom Fest, all the people at the convention center and the hotels and everybody that's just made all this happen. Man, you guys have been gracious and great. I'm telling you right now. Wow. Anyway, so that went on. And so we wrapped up. Man, the only problem with this whole Freedom Fest is there's so much good to attend and to be involved in, you're just sleep deprived almost. Because it's just, I mean, you don't want to miss out on anything. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to day four. Sam live from freedomfest.com. If you can't attend in person, the streaming option is available. Wow, have I got a story for you. By the way, the Epic Times is here. In full force at Freedom Fest, doing a phenomenal job. You know, the Epic Times is a very interesting news service. They're growing by leaps and bounds, justifiably so. And we were able to interview this Josh gentleman, one of the investigative reporters for the Epic Times. We were able to just do some great stuff. That interview will be coming up. I pre-recorded it because, again, there's just not enough time. I'd love to be on the radio, like, full-time for Freedom Fest, but, man, I just can't handle it. I can't talk that much. I can't. So we do these interviews that we'll play back on the next couple of days next week. But it'll be fresh content from Freedom Fest. Freedom Fest will live on even beyond its literal opening days, if you will. But the Epic Times just came out with another incredible article. I'm telling you right now, they're just nailing it. Here's what it says. I guess it's Jack Phillips that wrote it. So you got a Josh Philup and a Jack Phillips that are at Epic Times. But anyway, it says this. Federal court rules that the CDC's COVID-19 eviction moratorium is unlawful. Roasted, ladies and gentlemen. The CDC unlawful. Yeah. July 23rd, it's an update. All right. A federal court on Friday, that's yesterday, ruled that the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, if you will, overstepped its authority by halting evictions during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Cincinnati-based U.S. District Court, I guess the 6th District Court of Appeals, unanimously agreed with the lower court ruling that said that the CDC engaged in federal overreach, which the agency has consistently extended for months. What do you think of that? The CDC engaged in federal overreach. Wow. Isn't that what Richard Mack's Supreme Court case win over Bill Clinton said too? Yeah. Several weeks, ladies and gentlemen, the CDC said that it will allow the policy, which they say was passed into law by Congress, they're going to let it expire at the end of July. Finally, when a court rules on it, they then back away from it. But if they've been committing political overreach for months on end, nigh on to a year and a half now, don't you think somebody ought to go to prison for that overreach? They say it's not our job as judges to make legislative rules that favor one side or the other, the judges wrote, but more. Nor should it be the job of bureaucrats embedded in the executive branch. While landlords and tenants likely disagree on much, there's one thing that both deserve for their problems to be resolved by their elected representatives, not by courts and judges. And the ruling upheld a ruling that was handed down by U.S. District Judge Mark Norris, who in March blocked enforcement of the moratorium throughout Western Tennessee. Under the moratorium, they say tenants who have lost income during the pandemic can declare under penalty of perjury that they made their best effort to pay rent on time. The CDC claimed the measure was necessary to prevent people from having to enter into overcrowded conditions if they were evicted. They said, according to the agency, that would impact public health so negatively that they had to literally dictate from on high at the federal level. But the court said no. Previously, the CDC's lawyers argued in court filings that Congress authorized the eviction freeze as part of its COVID-19 relief legislation, while simultaneously asserting that the moratorium was within its authority or scope of authority. Those arguments were flat out rejected by the 3-judge federal appeals court on Friday. There you have it, man. And you hear it from the Epic Times. Where's the mainstream press when you need them, huh? They're all wimping out while the Epic Times gets it done, baby. How do you like that? I think that's really neat. I really like the idea that the CDC engaged in federal overreach. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like that they did it, right? I like that the courts got this one right. Because that's what I like. I like that they got this one right. Because the court rarely does that. You follow me? All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight, man. I'm just getting started. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable, live, nationally syndicated, globally on the internet, live radio program.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
A man who once ran our military operations in Afghanistan, among those criticizing plans to withdraw our troops. Former U.S. commander in Afghanistan David Petraeus on Fox News Friday responding to those who want to end an endless war.
This is not ending the endless war. It's ending our involvement in it. The war will continue, and indeed it's going to get much worse. It already is worse.
Meanwhile, hundreds of Afghans who worked for the U.S. military need to get to Kabul to get evacuated, but with the Taliban controlling most of the roads and flights being expensive, there's concern some won't make it. California's largest wildfire, just 18% contained. The Dixie Fire covering almost 143,000 acres in the Central Valley north of Sacramento. Oregon's Bootleg Fire remains the country's largest, though. That's over 400,000 acres. It's 40% contained. Thousands protesting COVID lockdowns in Australia. Several arrested in Sydney after clashing with riot police. This is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Frustration growing among public officials as COVID cases rise. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey saying Friday it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated. Her state ranks 47th in vaccination rates. As infections increase, so do questions about mask mandates. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki asked Friday about imposing a national mandate.
One, that's not the role of the federal government. That is the role that institutions, private sector entities, and others may take. That certainly is appropriate. Also, local communities are going to take steps they need to take in order to protect people in their communities.
Psaki adds she understands Governor Ivey's frustration. The Olympics off to a record-breaking start for Team USA. The women's water polo team beats Japan 25-4 Saturday. That's the most goals ever scored in an Olympics water polo match. The 21-goal margin of victory is the largest ever, too. Team USA looking for its third straight gold medal. An NBA star can get free meals for life. A Culver's in suburban Milwaukee making that offer to Bucks playoff MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo after he leads the Bucks to the NBA title. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bush, put on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. We are at day four, FreedomFest.com, baby. I'm telling you right now, just incredible stuff at Freedom Fest. We talked about the Epic Times article that just came out. Federal court rules CDC COVID-19 eviction moratorium unlawful. Jack Phillips with the article. Epic Times doing a phenomenal job. The CDC engaged in federal overreach, says the court. Amen to that. They upheld an appeals court, and they went all the way. I'm just telling you right now, great stuff. The CDC's out of control, ladies and gentlemen. I want to know. They've committed this overreach and changed the affairs of people who are property owners and people who rent and everything else for literally 18 months now, and now it's deemed political overreach by the courts, upheld even by an appellate court, and then, you know, there you go. Now federal court rules. So my question is, who's going to go to jail over this overreach? Who's going to be accountable? Who's going to be fired? I don't know. Time will tell. Let's ask an attorney, shall we? We just happen to have one sitting down with us at Freedom Fest. Eric Madsen. He is an attorney. He is the founder and trustee of TeamLaw.net. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Hi, thank you.
So what do you think of this Epic Times thing? They say it's federal overreach. Here's what happened. Or the CDC, I'm sorry, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they made this ruling that said, hey, you can't evict tenants if they've lost their job because of COVID. And they held this up for like 18 months, and so landlords are just getting the roast because they don't get any cash from their rentals or anything else. And then they're supposed to pay the mortgages, and then there's mortgage moratoriums and everything else under the sun. And now the courts are saying, hey, it's out of control federal overreach. It's unlawful. You got to stop it. You have no authority whatsoever. What do you say to that, sir, as an attorney?
Well, I don't say anything as an attorney because I'm not an attorney.
Oh, you're not?
No.
All right.
But I am well recognized as an expert in law in the courts and other things like that.
All right. Team law, but you're not an attorney. All right.
Yeah. What we do is we help people learn how to learn the law from the source so that people can learn the law instead of having to go someplace to get somebody else to tell them what it is. Because the reality is if you're the ones who are in control of the law, I mean, all authority in law and government comes from you. So if that's the case and you don't know the law, it's kind of like getting in a car and not knowing what steering wheel or gas pedal or brake is. So you have to be able to know how to use the law, and you have to know how to when you have government officials and others who are violating the law, you need to know how to hold them accountable. They're not unaccountable. Like you were saying with CDC. CDC is a private organization. It's not a governmental organization. So when you say the Supreme Court ruled that they went beyond the reach, anything they do to tell anybody they're doing anything is only a suggestion. They don't have any lawful reach.
Can't we somehow prosecute them for criminal activity then, if they're a private organization?
The first step to doing something like that with a prosecution, criminal prosecution, is exactly what you just talked about. You have to have a ruling that something was done wrong. Then you can go and look and say, okay, so this thing that went wrong, that went to this overreach, who was responsible for that? At that point in time, this person can be removed from any official capacity where they might have some kind of protection and held accountable. And that's what you need to do next. There's a follow-up process. You have to find out who's responsible. The problem is, when these kind of things happen, those who are involved all close ranks. And they don't, it's like, you know, squeezing blood out of a turnip.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the law is a very difficult thing. It scares most people away. It's very complicated. It's nuanced. It's confusing. It's frustrating. But Team Law is a self-help organization. Yeah, founded to help people learn how to learn the law.
That's right.
So they can learn how to apply the law.
That's correct.
So they can save themselves, so that they can help save our country and even the world. Regardless of who you are, ladies and gentlemen, sadly, you are required to know the law for two main reasons, Eric.
Well, primarily, everyone has heard the thing. Ignorance is no excuse. It's not an excuse. And so you are the one who controls the law. You are the one who is the source of all authority in the law. And saying you're ignorant of the law and reaching out to somebody who went to law school and never learned law, they learned practice, policy, and procedure. That's what the attorneys deal with. So you go to the attorney because you're going into court, and they're going to deal with practice, policy, and procedure. But the case and the law and the facts need to be presented, and you need to know how to do it. When I was really young, my dad, my grandpa, everybody said, you never hire a professional to do something you don't know how to do. You hire the professional to do something that they have expertise in. But if you don't know how to do, if you don't know how to do this thing, you may not have practice and experience with it. But if you don't know how to do it, then how do you know whether the attorney is doing it right? You can't. You have to be able to review and understand. And then there's this process. When you go into courts, you got to file paperwork and you got contracts. And everybody's always told exactly what you said. The law is so difficult. It's not. It's actually quite simple. You have to know who you are. Complex because there's so many statutes? Yes, but that's not the law. The law is goes back to the original source. You know, the founding law in the world, Torah, the law of God. A lot of people don't like that today because they've been taught this some ridiculous things about that, and they get all kinds of ideas about that. But the bottom line, when you follow authority and law, it's like it says in the Bible, God gave man dominion, agents, and possession. And those are the three elements that define sovereignty. So you are sovereign. Now, if you don't know how to manage and operate and use that sovereignty that was used to create the Constitution, all authority in law and government comes from the people. And if you don't know how to use that, if you don't understand what it is and how it works, then you can't use it. So if you learn what it is, you learn language, it's a simple thing. When you learn what it is and you learn how it is applied, and you learn how you can hold those accountable that violate the law, then there's something you can do. You don't have to have the attorney, and sometimes having the attorney who, you, when you know the law, having the attorney come and help you in a process with court or something, that's fine if you know the law and you can keep them on the right track. It's like when you're talking about CDC. They're sitting there, and what's the first thing their lawyers say? We can do this because of blah. Okay? Blah, blah, blah. We say this. But what does it turn out? Completely wrong. They're just giving a defense so they come up in their mind. And they're wrong.
Do they know they're wrong?
It depends on whether they're caught up in some kind of prevailing mythology that makes them think they're right, even though they're wrong. And then someone enlightens them that that prevailing mythology is wrong. And in those cases, yeah.
But if they're wrong, they have no excuse either, right? Can't we just sue their socks off for being wrong and being part of the bar and just shut them down and toss them in the clink?
Actually, it's very difficult to sue an attorney who's acting to defend someone because they have a form of judicial immunity.
Yeah, but they have immunity, but not if they're lying or unintentionally caught up with the law.
Exactly. That's
if they're ignorant of the law, but they're pretending that they're the attorneys and above the law and get this immunity because they're supposed to know and they don't know.
And they don't.
And or they're lying.
Or they're lying and cheating. And absolutely. Then yeah. You can bring action against them. And absolutely, you can absolutely...
Well, then how come we don't have all these thugs in jail right now, then?
Well, because most people... It's like right now, we've got the internet, right?
Yes.
And they got social media. So they have a problem, they grumble, 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 and as soon as they grumble, 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 they don't want to do anything. They let their steam
Well, let me give you an example.
Know what to do, even if they're going to do something.
Well, let me just tell you how hard the courts are to deal.
Oh, so, I know.
So let's just say it this
Please
way.
Do.
So Twitter shut me down.
Yes.
And that's not so unique. A lot of us have been shut down, right?
Yeah, yep.
But here's the deal. I didn't get shut down because I said something false. I got shut down because here's what happened. There was a news article out of an Israeli news organization. It was also documented by LifeSite News. So I have two sources that are legitimate. And the article, in essence, claimed the following from a group of physicians in Israel. And the group of physicians said more people are dying from the COVID vaccines in the elderly population in Israel than are dying from the coronavirus itself. And I led with their headline and put that on Twitter and said, hey, this is what's being claimed, and here's the sources. I talked about it on my radio program and said this is very interesting that these physicians are making this claim. Somebody needs to research and find out what the heck is up with that, because that's a sad tale to tell and crazy. That was my take. Okay, Twitter came back and said, look, you're peddling false information. We're shutting you down. If you want to repent and pull down your false headline, your fake news headline, then we'll put you back on Twitter, no harm, no foul. The problem is, I said, I won't do that. And the reason that I won't do that is because I'm not making the claim. I'm merely echoing what's happening in the news around the world and bringing this reality to the people's attention, which
Absolutely.
Is, hey, these physicians are making this claim. They're literally licensed professionals. They have every right to make the claim if they want to. If it's true, they need to document it, not me. Then legitimate news organizations, I documented two of them. And you know what? So there. Now, I want to sue Twitter.
Good.
Because I think they're wrong.
Not only that.
They're dishonest and they're unfair, and somebody's got to stand up.
Not only that, they qualify as a public utility. And if you get them qualified as a public utility.
All right, but when we get back, I'll tell you what happened when I talked to a bunch of attorneys about it and what they said. And let's just start there. And then maybe you can sue them for me and win. Hang tight. TeamLawBaby.net.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, breaking it down just for you for Freedom Fest Day 4, baby. Eric Madsen with us. He's not an attorney. He is the founder and trustee, though, of TeamLaw.com. TeamLaw was created to help, or .net, I'm sorry, TeamLaw.net. It was created to help awaken people to the necessity of knowing the law. Wow. Learning the law and providing them with the opportunity to understand what to do to ensure life, liberty, and property. It's a hard row to hoe. And I'm making the case that it's very difficult. The law is very hard.
It is.
It's very full of missteps and confusion. People are in jail from not knowing well enough what to do, and they get slaughtered and found in contempt of court, and it goes on and on and on and on. Now, Eric thinks it's easy. But all I'm telling you is, so somebody needs to sue Twitter on my behalf. Somebody would say, well, Sam, you need to do it. The problem with me doing it is if somebody teaches me what to do and I make a misstep, then I'll be in jail and I'll be broke and my wife will, you know, not be very happy and it won't go very well all over this Twitter thing. So maybe I ought to just leave it alone. See, that's where the American people are right now.
And that's
what sadly, justifiably so.
Yeah, that's what most people do. They see it's like it says in the scripture, what man builds a building without first considering the cost? And you just consider the cost and you say, you know what, that cost isn't worth it. So what do we do instead?
Yeah. What I do instead is I complain about Twitter, and I've created my own organizations and institutions.
I've been
encouraging other people to do the same for quite some time. If enough patriots have done what I've done back in, I've been in radio, owned a radio station since 1996, and I've been in the media before that all the way back to 91. So, what I'm doing is just running my own thing, telling my own tale, using my own resources and everything else the best I can, and encouraging others to do the same. But there you have it. So, you know, what should happen? Somebody will say, well, I'll teach you how to sue them and win, Sam.
Well, you know, Sam, that's the other side of something that's absolutely been a part of this nation since day one, the right to deal with a disobedience against something that's being done wrong and stand up and say something about it. That's what you're doing, and you're inspiring other people to do the same. And that's another part of what it takes. The people have to stand up. If we're the sole authority in law and government, and if we don't stand up and use every tool we have, the opposition you're fighting against isn't just government, it's the global elite controlling government and media and all of these
things. There's no question about it.
And if you don't realize how huge that is, you got a problem.
I realize how huge it is, I just don't know what can be done about it. Let me give you another example.
Okay.
I've got a friend, his name is James Edwards. He advocates for the white race. He is not a racist. He just simply says, hey, if the blacks and if the Latinos and if everybody else could advocate for their race, I'm going to advocate for my race. So he wants the best for white people, and he's a white advocate. Mm-hmm. He's not a racist. Here's what happened. The Michigan newspapers basically declared him a leader of the KKK. Now, listen, they said he was a leader of the KKK. They literally said that in the newspaper. Uh-huh. So he sued them, because not only is he not a leader of the KKK, he's not even a member of the KKK, and he doesn't even agree with the KKK.
That doesn't matter. The KKK could burn him and kill him, and the rumor gets started.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, the quintessential definition of libel slander is that example. Hey, claiming someone to be a leader of the KKK or a member of the KKK, whether they're not. That was used in court cases precedenting,
yes,
if you will. Case precedent situation.
Yes, absolutely.
Right now. So he sued them. He got an attorney. He sued them. Eventually, the attorney quit and left him hanging. But he lost the first round. They just simply said this. Ready? Because of Aesop's fables, Listen to me.
I'm listening.
There's guilt by association. So he may not be a leader of the KKK. He may not even be a member. But he's friends with people who have leanings toward the KKK. So because I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, then, you know what, I'm guilty as charged. And because of Esau's fables, it stands. And they literally even documented that they know it isn't true. But because, even though it isn't true, they're allowed to say that it's true and claim and make that lie. And so then they were supposed to go to the appellate court. But, of course, with it, his attorney quit. Then he didn't have extra money to go find somebody else. He can't really represent himself pro se because he doesn't really know what to do, just like the rest of us.
Oh, that's another problem. The legal profession wants you to say you are representing yourself, but you're not representing yourself. You are yourself. You're not sitting in one chair and saying, I did this or that. That's what they want you to do. And when you do that, you fall into that trap. You have to be
yourself.
Yeah,
but I'm not interested in traps. I'm just interested in the truth, sir, and the fact
is. Of course.
Here's the fact. He's not a member or the leader of the KKK. Yep. Aesop's fables aside, guilt by association is not guilt at all. That's a lie.
You're right.
Straight from the pit of hell. So the bottom line is he lost, and now they're using that court case, because they won, as the quintessential change now the narrative to where, hey, the media is allowed to say those kind of things. So I can just simply say, you're a white supremacist racist, and you can do nothing about it now.
Let me give you an example that is exactly akin to that one, and it is the first time that anybody stood up against the global elite. It was a congressional committee called the Reese Committee back in the 1950s, and they were investigating the great foundations. Now, Carnegie Foundation is the one who started all this thing going after the their purpose, they said, was to create a collectivist society that the people would volunteer for and the people could volunteer for, and then they give them the control of the government and property. So this was their goal from back in, brief as they're planning the Carnegie Foundation in 1906 and came forward in 1908. So the Reese Committee was investigating this. The lead investigator was Norman Dodd. Norman Dodd had gotten access to the archives of the Carnegie Foundation, and they sent investigators into there to look at what was found. They found these plans of what it was all about. And when they come back with that, the President of the United States instructed Congress. He didn't want to hear anything more about communism and the threat of communism because the McCarthyism thing had just been gone through. Says, no matter what the report is going to be, I don't want to hear anything about that. When they saw that the report, in fact, demonstrated these guys were trying to do, essentially, collectivism is the corporate term for communism.
Yeah, really put forth a communist coup, right?
Right. And so what happens when they see this happening, they say, you can't do that. And so here's where it comes tied to what you're talking about. They allege that some of the investigators were anti-Semites.
Yeah, anti-Semites, yep.
Yeah, they're anti-Semites. And so they wanted to cut the entire thing because of this anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
There were no anti-Semites.
Well, even if there are, though, there's nothing illegal or
nothing
wrong
about that.
Even if my buddy James Edwards was a flat-out racist, which he's not.
You're right.
Even if he was, though, that doesn't mean
he has
any less rights than the next guy, for crying out loud.
But they used that to stop that congressional report from coming forward and exposing the great tax-free foundation.
Yep. So who sued him and put him in jail? Nobody.
Nobody.
There you go.
And then they ostracized Norman Dodd, who had a pretty prestigious situation up to that point in time.
Yep.
And then you go forward, and he's this guy that tries to tell people the truth of what happened, and nobody listens because Congress didn't do anything.
Yep. So you got my case. I don't know how to move forward with it. You got James Edwards' case that got shut down. Now they're using it to literally remake case precedent. They're using that as the quintessential case now to remake the case precedent where they can say anything they want about us.
But it's easy.
Slanderous, libelous.
But it's easy to overcome.
How?
By showing the opposite in a court that hears that truth. And you have to be able to present that.
Yeah, but you
got to
find another case. You got to get somebody
That's
with
right.
the guts to go. You got to train somebody to do it or find an attorney that has. You got to have the money. You got to have all kinds of stuff to get.
It's
just
like,
you know,
every
Richard Mack won his case
world.
At the Supreme Court
That's
against
right.
Bill Clinton. But you know how much it cost to get done?
Well, I know.
How much?
I don't know the exact amount. I know
$500,000.
Yeah, well, I thought it was more than that.
$500,000.
And Sheriff Mack's a personal friend of mine, and I have known him for many, 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 many years. And I was there when he was dealing with all of that. And it's just It was amazing.
So I think you got to be able to soon get all of his money back. What a Shanghai for the government then to say, hey, the feds have no authority. Right?
He could, but people choose. You choose to fight the battle that will give you the most effectiveness to move forward with what you really desire.
Yeah.
And that battle wouldn't do anything to move forward with effectiveness.
It would, because it would give us some cash that we could tell the tale of liberty. Plus, there needs to be penalties for these criminals,
the,
though.
The cash part would be a nice situation. But if you're not, if you know the law, now, I've been in a lot of court cases, and I won all, I always win. And the reason I always win is because I don't relent. There was a time when I had up to nearly or even 300 litigants that were fighting against me, various organizations of the government, in the corporate government in Colorado. And during this time, the sheriff's deputies and all of the, and these weren't constitutional sheriffs like Sheriff Mack. This was the other kind that are fighting on the opposition for the global elite. And all the sheriffs and their assistants, to take a record from the county archives and take it up and present it from Congress, you have to have two or three witnesses. So the high sheriff has the authority to get the record. The other person witnesses that, yeah, this is where it came from. And they went up to Congress to supplicate for funds. And so when they did, the Congress took a look at it and said, this is a national security issue. So they send over the National Security Council. This is also when Clinton was in office. The National Security Council is the advisory committee for the president. It's made up of the Joint Chiefs, the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of Defense. So they sent the Joint Chiefs take all the evidence and send it off to the Judge Advocate General's office. They respond back 2 weeks later and they say, what Governor Madsen is doing out there in Colorado is legal, lawful, and correct. And if they accomplish what they've set out to do, we will recognize that president as the president, commander-in-chief of the military, give them full military support. At which point in time, that language is passed all the way back down through the National Security Council, up to President Clinton, over to the Congress, down to the police, to the sheriff, sheriffs who brought all this together. We summoned the books and records because there were a couple of cases that were trying to get records that were missing. So we filed suits against misappropriation records, and suddenly all the records are back. Well, that's because they took them to Washington to file this case. So they come back, and they've got the word from Congress what they're doing is legal, lawful, and correct, and they couldn't. It was like rats running from the flood. They just dropped everything and took off.
I get it. Did anybody go to jail?
No. As a matter of fact, when it all happened, we were so relieved to be in that situation. My wife actually says, well, you are the governor. Why don't we move into the mansion?
This is what creates a sinister, cynical Sam, because you know what? There's no accountability anywhere. Even if you win a case here or there, there's no repercussions. There's no accountability. There's no prosecutions. They'll just slaughter the next person. I'll give you another quick example to make the point. There's a lady by the name of Ramona Haig. And her father was Wayne Haig, a well-known rancher in the West. And Wayne Haig was married to a congressman, Helen Chenoweth. And Wayne Haig literally was being harassed by the government. Anyway, they sued and they went to court. And the judge said, federal government, bring your pocketbook. This is going to be a costly one for you. And literally held the federal government accountable for racketeering and all kinds of other things and awarded them a bunch of money. But you know what happened? The federal government never gave him the money. Laughed. Now Wayne Haig's dead. The Congresswoman Helen Chenoweth is dead as well. And the daughter's continuing the multi-generational fight to no avail to this day, even though they won.
Yeah. And winning a case and collecting the funds at the end of the case.
Yeah, so this is what I mean by the nuanced part. It's nuanced and it's very complicated, and that's why Americans can't deal with the law.
That part's complicated, but that's not law. That's these guys with their policy, practice, and procedure, which is what the attorneys specialize in.
The law should be able to throw them in the clink if they violate the law. Right?
You can, and the only problem with that, and the problem always with that, is you have to go to prosecute with crime. You have to go through the district attorney, the attorney general, or some office like that, which really screws it up.
Yeah, that was my point. It's very complicated. That's why Americans just can't deal with it. We got to do something different if we want to get different results, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Madsen with us. He's the founder and the trustee of Team Law. Check it out, teamlaw.net. Learn a lot, but be very careful because they might toss you in the clink for a misstep. But I'm telling you right now, I wish we could win and get money and hold these people accountable, because until we do, we're not going to change the game. Thank you so much. God save the Republic. Thanks, Eric.